AM 760 KFMV presents Auto Talk with host Brian Bowerson. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian right now, 1-800-760-KFMB.
All right, good morning, folks, and welcome to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. My headphones are back at it. This jack over here is not working properly again. I just love this stuff. There we go. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Auto Talk Radio. Equipment malfunctions going on.
Good morning.
It is a good morning. I appreciate you joining me this morning and everybody else out there. Kevin, what you doing today? You're working on your son's truck again? I think you've been doing that for a while.
Well, we bought that truck pretty cheap. I knew I had to do a bunch to it. But
your mic is not on. I'm telling you that right now. He is talking right into it. Yeah, and my headphones aren't working. And boy, today's going to be a welcome to Auto Talk Radio. No, you are not working. So anyway, I'm going to start talking and hopefully he'll get you all squared away. Something's going on with your mics for sure. You're going to try a different one? We're jumping around. Sorry about that this morning. Anyway, appreciate everybody joining us. Do want to remind you, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you the West Automotive Group, which is West Escondido Automotive and Transmission, 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido, AAA approved and STAR certified for over 27 years up there, taking care of folks in North County, along with West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission at 844 North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon, AAA approved and SMOG certified, taking care of folks out there in East County for heading up on to 7 years now. And West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission, 8027 Balboa Avenue, right around the corner here in central San Diego, taking care of folks over here for coming up on 3 years now, AAA approved and SMOG certified also. And West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, previously Miramar 76 Service Center and Transmissions at Miramar Road and Eastgate Mall, taking care of folks there in the Golden Triangle, AAA approved and STAR certified for SMOG also. All of us at the West Automotive Group, including my employees and myself, come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio for one simple reason. We all believe in the same philosophy, and that is we truly believe we never put money ahead of people. Very important to us. And what that means to us is we would never recommend a service or repair on your vehicle that we wouldn't recommend to ourselves or our family members on our vehicles. So stop in to have your vehicle serviced or repaired and find out what quality automotive service repair is all about. We truly do live up to that philosophy. The West Automotive Group is also proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs. We finance, actually have our own credit cards that we can get you approved for. And you can use them anytime. And you save basically... 6 months, no interest. So you can break up the payments. As long as you're paying it off for 6 months, there's no interest. It helps folks out, especially this time of year when you're spending money, you know, on loved ones and gifts and Christmas and all that. If you're an unexpected repair, that card can surely help you a lot where you don't have to worry much about it. Get you back on the road, keep you working or whatever you need to do with your car, driving family members around and not have to pay for it all at once. You could also take advantage of our no-charge CertiCare transmission diagnosis, very important. If you think you have a transmission problem, get into one of our locations so our experts can check out your vehicle and find out what's actually going on and make sure that you are having a transmission problem or whatever not. So we see a lot of vehicles that are not transmission concerns that have been told they need a transmission repair or replacement, etc. That's not always the case. We also offer free shuttle rides to or from work at home from all locations, low-cost rental vehicles available at all locations. So check us out. Go to westautomotivegroup.com. That's westautomotivegroup.com. And from there, you can see our Twitter, Instagram, Facebook you can join up to, see everything that's going on. You can check out the Automan segments where I'm the Automan on the CW every Friday morning news. If you've missed any of those or don't see them from there, you can go right to our, from westautomotivegroup.com, you can go right to our YouTube channel where they're all posted at and check them out. Or you can also, if you've missed any Auto Talk Radios live, you can grab the podcast straight from there also. Takes you right through. Just click on it. It'll take you right to where all the podcasts are. That's westautomotivegroup.com, and you can make appointments for any time at any location and also find out all about us. westautomotivegroup.com. You can email us also anytime at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. So I'm just loving my headphones going in and out on this thing.
Is this mic work now?
Yeah, does work. My problem is just the jack over here. So one of the two things. It worked last week. It didn't work the week before, remember? So it's very sensitive. I think it's kind of worn out.
It probably is.
Yeah, so I'm holding my thumb on it now, so it keeps working. But then I can't work the mouse to, so all great, whatever. Anyway, so folks, give us a call, 1-800-760-KFMB, 1-800-760-5362. Anything automotive related, we're happy to talk to you about, 1-800-760-5362. This morning, we're talking about myths when it comes to servicing your vehicle, but we're happy to talk to you about anything automotive related. 1-800-760-5362, and we're here to talk to you. I want to see if I can get the backup to the computer on. So anyway, any cool stuff this week, Kevin, that we were working on?
So much. I had to run that through my head real quick because I'm trying to... The thing is, some stuff might be crazy to some people, but it's normal to me, right?
Yeah, normal to a lot of us for sure. So when working in the shop, but no, it's been a busy week though for sure, without question.
And I've been
a lot
really
of different things
week.
Going on, a lot of cool stuff, and working on all kinds of things, and cars coming and going, and everything else. So good stuff. So seven myths. I actually like this show. I've done it before, so it's been quite a while. Today you never know who to believe about servicing your vehicle. You can believe us at the West Automotive Group, but besides that, who knows? You know, one of those things. There are all kinds of information out there, especially on the internet and your friends. They know best, right? The internet and your friends know.
You know what the funny thing is? I was thinking about this because... every once in a while, just to see what pops up, I'll Google something, like a problem or something, and then I'll start reading the threads. And, you know, every once in a while, you'll get somebody that pops in there that knows what he's talking about. Yeah. But 99% of the time, I'm like, what the?
Yeah. Don't do that to your vehicle. It's a bad idea. So, yeah. So, anyway, that's why we're kind of talking about this. It's fun stuff. So, and also helpful. So the first one is inflate your tires to the pressure, max pressure shown on the tire sidewall. Is that a myth, Kevin? That's a myth.
It depends if you're towing or what you're doing with the truck. It depends where you want your air pressure at. Normally, though, when you put it at max pressure, you're going to get weird tire wear.
Well, not only that, and you're going to get a car that rides like a rock. Are cars designed to ride like that? No.
No.
So what do we follow?
The manufacturer's
recommendation, which is located on the door jam, the driver's door jam.
They make it really easy for you now.
Yeah, what the car was engineered, the tire pressure to run at, the tire size, the tire pressure that you run them at, and all that stuff.
That's what I try to tell people. You know, these car companies put millions of dollars into to making something work. So,
well, they engineer the car.
Well, that's what I mean. They spend a lot of time in the wind tunnel, on the testing tracks to make this car. That tire pressure is made for the comfort. The
car's engineered to ride
traction,
that way. Gas mileage.
Yes. I mean, there's so many things that they put into their equations when they make that tire pressure up. That's why some of them will have weird tire pressures, like they want 29 in the front and then 32 in the rear or whatever. They do it for...
Or 29 in the front, 28 in the rear because it's front-wheel drive sometimes.
Yeah, and for handling, loads for braking.
Absolutely.
They figure out the best equation.
It all goes together. And the car's engineered that way. So that's why we follow that. So no, almost never is a car, even when towing, do you ever go to max tire pressure, though? Hardly ever.
No, because normally you get weird. The tire normally, if you go to max pressure, will wear out faster because it's trying to hold that.
Well, and it wears out the center of the tire. Yes,
because it's ballooning it.
Exactly. So it's because the car doesn't weigh enough to have a... So, and that's another thing about the proper tire pressure gives the best tire footprint on the ground for that vehicle. In other words, which has to do with not only tire wear, but stopping of the vehicle.
Handling.
It's got the proper handling of the vehicle, proper footprint, all these things that go along with gas mileage of the vehicle, like I said. So all these things are very important when it comes to tire pressure. So my suggestion to you is put the proper tires on your vehicle and set the tire pressure what the manufacturer recommend. And then you'll be good to go. So, no, do not inflate to the highest pressure. All right, let's grab Brian and Julian real quick. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. How are you this morning?
Oh, a little frustrated, but
what you got going? Okay.
My son's got a 95 F-250 with a 5.8. Mm-hmm. He bought it in October, and it ran great, passed MOG, no problems. And then all of a sudden, he put about three or 5,000 miles on it, and he was driving up the grade in Julian, and it just quit. Mm-hmm. And his friend, who's quote-unquote a Ford expert, said, oh, the coil's bad. So I was down the hill, so I got him a coil, and it didn't work, and I couldn't mess with it for a couple of days. When I finally got to it, the roll pin on the distributor drive gear had sheared.
Ooh.
So I got that fixed, and gave him the distributor, and his friend said, oh, yeah, I can put that in, no problem. And they put it in, and they didn't do it right. They drove it for about a mile, way out of time, and it quit on him again. And my son said that the catalytic converters looked like they were glowing red.
Misfiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went down and I got it timed right, and it ran good for a week. And then it started to not start in the morning. And he'd fiddle with it for a half an hour, finally get it started, it would run fine.
What was he doing to fiddle with it? What was he, when you say fiddle with, just keep trying it? Okay.
Yeah, just keep trying it over a half an hour period, and then it would catch and run fine. So then he was down at a job, and it would not start at all. So he had it towed to my house, and I started running through the diagnosis stuff that I could find, and it said the computer was bad because it was getting, or the fuel, you turn the key on, the fuel pump would come on and stay on, and it would get no spark. If you pull the spout connector, you could get a spark. So ordered a new computer from Rock Auto, and I guess that one is, the 95 is a 1 year only, so it's kind of hard to find. And put the new computer in the same condition. Nothing, I could get a spark with the spout out, but no spark with the spout in, and it was just going frustrating.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So sent that computer back, got a new computer, and the new computer will show a check engine light when you turn the key on, and the fuel pumps come on and stay on. They don't do the 1 second cycle, and still no spark.
Yeah.
Any ideas?
It's not a PCM pretty much. Usually they don't fail. We don't typically have that issue with those. When you have no spark with the spout connector in, but you have spark with it out and it still won't start?
Correct.
So do you have one hit spark or do you have like continuous spark when you cranking it over? Because that's highly unusual.
I pulled the coil wire off and put a spark plug on it, and it looks like it's sparking.
Okay.
You know, as it's supposed to.
That's unique. Okay. But those trucks have a lot of problems with the TFI module, which is on the side of the distributor or located up on the fender well on 95. I don't know. So
it's on the fender well, and when they replaced that one too.
Okay, the thick film integrated module.
I want to know why the fuel pumps stay running.
Yeah, that's another question, never do that.
I mean, a relay, a bad ground, or something being grounded. This could be a wiring problem.
That's the other thing I was going to... Yeah, it's either we could have a relay issue, a relay that's failing, something weird is going on with this truck. Now, here's the problem.
I moved all the relays around. I put new relays in, and... It's still
somebody's
really weird.
I'm going to tell you something here. Here's the problem. There's been a lot of people touching this truck, and somebody's created an issue, I can almost tell you, that's going to be something weird.
I got to tell you, on a problem like this, too, you're pretty much going to have to start from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And try to fit, because I get in these situations, too, sometimes, and you got to start. First of all, why is the fuel pump still running? I mean... Something's telling the PCM to keep it on.
Yeah, and when he says we get in these situations, we see vehicles like this towed in, and we have to start from square one is where we have to start, because unfortunately, and I would actually go back and put the original PCM back in the car. So, and if you're able to actually go through and do all the steps and test everything properly, you're going to have to start at the beginning. But if you're pulling the spout and you got sparks, something weird is going on with this truck. So I agree with Kevin.
Something weird.
Either a ground was affected, We have a relay issue. Something's happened. Somebody's unplugged something somewhere. Something strange. So, and I always say, this is my favorite thing to say because it's total truth. Hardest things to figure out on a vehicle are man-created things.
Yes, they are.
When a car just breaks, they're easy to fix. At least for, when we go through the process. When somebody has changed something or done something to a vehicle that's unorthodox, as I would say. And I'm not saying you, but I know your son's friend was helping him, and who knows else.
Well, not only that, if a rat chewed on a wire, that's kind of a man-made thing.
Another, yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm okay. Something weird in there. You might. I mean, I don't know. You sound like you know a bit about cars. I don't know how far your expertise goes, and I don't know what equipment you have
expert,
either.
I'm a pretty good parts changer. So.
Gotcha. This may be past that though, because it may require actually starting to pin test circuits and things like that and find out where we're losing, what we're losing here. So it's a possibility on that.
Okay.
But something's definitely. Yeah, as you already know, not right. But I mean, it's not. It doesn't sound like a normal fix to me. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of things replaced and other people besides yourself working on the vehicle. So it's hard to recollect what they did to it.
It sure is.
So maybe you might want to get it in.
Your input.
No problem.
Yeah.
Let us know if we can help you out.
How busy is your Escondido store these days?
Oh well, we stay really busy, but we can help you out either there or you're up in Julian. Nick, my lead tech in El Cajon, does an amazing job too. So either one.
All right.
All right.
All right. Thanks a bunch, guys.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.
Yeah, bye.
So boy, that's one of those when you get a bunch of people involved, you know, that sometimes goes.
That's the thing, too, especially on a wire that, like, rubbed together or something. I mean, you can ohms check them. It's going to be fine because technically the wire's still there. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes you got to start doing the load test on the wires and stuff like that. You know, use a light bulb and put currency through it to find weird ones like that.
Yeah, sometimes those can require a lot to work. That's for sure.
And a little bit of patience. I mean, I should say a lot of patience, because when it comes to things like that, you're looking at and you're like, everything's right. But I mean, I've had them where two wires and a wiring harness were touching. And that's where you had to use the light bulb and put a load on it to find that.
Melted together.
Yeah, well,
or chewed in the same spot.
Oil gets in them wires these days and tears up the insulation too.
That
so.
Too. We see that too on a lot of older vehicles, especially.
And you may not even see the oil on the outside of the loom because it's in, you know, it spirals down the inside of the loom. So you look at the loom and the outside's dry.
And we've had a lot of problem with Volkswagens where coolant gets in underneath the sheathing on the wiring and starts to corrode the wires, as you know. And then it creates all these different issues in the harness. And it's not even something you can see. Same idea.
Exactly. Because when a part's bad, it's pretty easy to diagnose it. This is where you get your issues where you start, you know, where. And there is no, when two wires are touching together, there is no test. I mean, like a manufacturer's test, because this is not.
Well, there is if one's a ground and you got power
on
the ground.
Well, I know that, but they don't set up their test. They set up their test to test faulty.
Failure components.
Yes.
Yes, I get you. I agree with you 100%. All right, let's grab Vern real quick. Good morning, Vern.
Good morning.
What year's your Ford Fiesta?
It's 2017.
Gotcha. What's going on with it?
Whenever we put gas in it and fill it up all the way, it is difficult, very difficult to start. It takes took me about 10 minutes to get it started.
Mm-hmm.
If we only fill it up about halfway, it's still difficult to start, but not as difficult.
Well,
once it does start, mm-hmm. it starts fine from then on until we put gas in it again.
Well, let me ask you a question real quick. When you say fill it up, do you top it off or do you stop when it shuts off?
Well, I tend to make it at an even dollar amount, so I do put a little more than little more after it originally clicks off.
So here's the problem with newer vehicles, and you have to be conscious about this. When you top off a newer vehicle often, you overfill it, and it will suck the excess fuel into the evap system, which can cause starting issues and all kinds of weird issues. Now, if you've affected some of the one-way valves in there, you can create an open in the evap system intermittently, and that may be why when this thing fuels, it creates an issue. It's hard to say. So It's a possibility. What I would do is try to not, if you're going to fill it up, just don't, when it shuts off, just be done. You know what I mean? That's what you really should do with these vehicles. That way you don't overfill them. See how that goes. But you may have gotten fuel in the EVAP system, and it's creating an issue now that might have to be inspected or looked at, to be honest with you.
That's probably what it is, because, like I say, it will still do it now, even if we only fill it up half full. It is still difficult to start the first time, but once we get it started, it's fine from then on until we again put fuel in it.
Yeah, the only thing I could think about that is, no matter when you fuel it, that one of the EVAP valves is sucking some raw fuel into the EVAP system, which will create weird issues for sure.
Okay.
So that's
okay. Well, we'll get it into your shop over on Balboa Avenue and have them take care of it.
Yeah, Nick can take a look at it for you. Those guys can, and they'll definitely get it figured out without a problem.
Thank you so very much.
No problem, Vern. Hey, you have a wonderful, safe weekend. Take care now.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Two really great questions. So,
well, and them aren't normal. Them aren't normal problems, neither.
EVAP thing.
I know,
we've seen
that
before.
You know what? And that's why I explained to people too. Don't overfill your tank anymore. When it clicks off.
Not with newer vehicles, no.
No,
it's not like your 70s vehicles where it didn't matter.
I've even seen it fill up the charcoal canister with fuel, and then the charcoal starts to break up and starts going through the system, which causes, you know.
Let me tell you, that's an expensive repair, my friend.
Yes.
I know you've fixed them, but I see the cost of doing so. And you have charcoal canisters, depending on the vehicle, can be $1,000.
Yeah, they can get pricey.
Because some of them come with all the valves and solenoids. That's the only way to get them, and it's expensive. So overfilling a tank is never a good idea anymore.
No.
So, and I'm not saying that's what's going on with his vehicle as far as the charcoal canister failing, or et cetera. Just need to get figured out. We also see valves that stick, et cetera. Things
well,
that's like
that. That kind of goes in line with the myth thing, because, you know, that's what we were taught when we were younger. Get as much fuel in the tank as you can get in there. I mean, that was just, you know, what they did.
Yeah, I know. Remember when they used to, like, take the hose and whip it and try to get the last drop out of the hose that...
Yeah.
Come on, what the heck, man?
Hey, that was an extra penny.
Great. Yeah. What's the... So you do know, though, if you want to get your best value for fuel, that you should actually fuel in the morning. You do know that, right?
Well, yeah, because gas expands and all that stuff.
Well, it vaporizes somewhat. So you actually, your best time to fill
when
your vehicles is when it's cold. So if you live in Michigan right now and it's negative 20 degrees, you can fuel anytime you want.
Yeah.
It's just like, anyway, I've heard that too before. And I know that obviously fuel does expand when it's hot. So, you know, you can get your tank filled right up when it's cool. That's the way to do it.
The thing is, if you live around the corner from the gas station, it's going to be hot that day. That again will push fuel into the freaking EVAP system
Yeah.
It can. I mean,
gotcha.
So normally if I'm going to fuel like that, I fuel and then I drive to work, and then I get to work. That way I don't have to worry about that. I don't normally fuel and just pull into my driveway. You know what I'm saying?
Why not?
Well, because...
I'm just kidding.
Fuel expands.
But still, if you just let it shut off when it clicks off, there's room for expansion.
That's why they do that.
But if you top it off, it can be an issue. All right, folks, 1-800-760-KFMB, 1-800-760-5362, 1-800-760-5362. Anything automotive related, we're happy to talk to you about. We're talking about some myths and different things going on this morning here on Auto Talk Radio. So we talked about tire pressure. If your brake fluid is low, topping it off will fix the problem. My question is, where did
no.
the brake fluid? No, no, no. That's not a great idea.
You shouldn't put more in there, because the manufacturer puts a light on there. So when the fluid gets low enough, the red light comes on. And normally
Brake fluid's low, somebody needs to be doing a professional brake inspection.
It's not a good idea to wait for the brake light to come on. Check your brakes, because now you're really, really low. But it does get to that point. If the pads get that low, the light will come on. So if you're adding brake fluid to it, that light will never come on.
Very true. And then your brakes will go metal to metal usually.
It's not, you're pretty close to metal when the light does come on. I mean, in that fact, but that's why I'm saying don't, I would check your brakes regularly, not wait for that light to come on, because they do call them. It's funny because, you know, that back in the day, they always called the oil light, that kind of light, an idiot light.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is even the oil light, it doesn't come on until you're like three and a half quarts low and you're on a 5-quart system. You only got a quart and a half mm-hmm. left in your system.
By the time the oil light comes on, it's almost too late. But with brakes, you could also have a hydraulic leak, like a wheel cylinder leak or something like that. Important stuff to get looked at. So if your brake fluid is low on the vehicle, a proper brake inspection by a qualified technician is the best way to go about, which we do every time we do an oil service on all our customers' vehicles at the West Automotive Group. But that's the only way to know what's going on. Do you have a leak? Are the pads or shoes worn out so bad that the brake fluid level has dropped? Important items to be conscious of instead of topping off the brake fluid, which is a temporary fix for a light concern or the brake fluid.
Yeah, because you don't want to lose. We grew up in the Midwest, and I have had a steel brake line rust through. it's not a nice feeling when you go to step on your brake and a line blows and you're going with your brake pedal to the floor.
No, that's why you need to inspect your brakes properly on a regular basis. All right, folks, give us a call, 1-800-760-KFMB, 1-800-760-5362, anything automotive related. We're going to have to take our bottom of the hour break here real quick. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on 760 KFMB. You can give us a call, like I said here, 1-800-760-KFMB, 1-800-760-5362. This is Auto Talk Radio on 760 KFMB. We'll be right back after these messages.
AM 760 KFMB.
I'm Eric Rule, AM 760 KFMB Talk and Breaking News.
All right, folks. Welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. Thanks for joining us this morning on December 14th. Christmas in 11 days.
That's what I'm thinking. This year has gone so fast.
11 days, man. All right, folks, give us a call, 1-800-760-KFMB, because we're going to be here for your pre-Christmas run.
Okay.
Get your family member to give you something automotive-related for Christmas.
AM.
And, boy, I'll tell you what, the jacks aren't working. There's weird things coming on over the air. We don't know what's going on over here. I think Justin spilled his coffee on the board. No, I'm just kidding.
He's awake now, though.
Everybody's awake now. All right. Anyway, give us a call, 1-800-760-KFMB, 1-800-760-5362. Well, it is Saturday the 14th, and yesterday was Friday the 13th, so made it through again, huh?
Yeah.
What, are you having trouble reading over there?
Yeah.
Great. 1-800-760-KFMB, 1-800-760-5362. Anything automotive related, we're here to talk to you about. Happy to do so. I do want to remind you, the show is also brought to you by Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. Interstate Batteries are the highest quality batteries out there. If you need an Interstate battery or you need a battery for your vehicle, period, jump on to westautomotivegroup.com. That's westautomotivegroup.com. From there, you can give any of our locations a call or make an appointment to get in to get a battery for your vehicle. We do not stock nor sell anything else at the West Automotive Group for one simple reason. Interstate batteries are the highest quality batteries out there. You won't find anything underneath the hood of any of our vehicles. My technicians, my service consultants, myself, motorcycles, cars, whatever, they all have Interstates in them. There's a reason for that. So if you need a battery for any other need that's not automotive related, they got batteries for everything. Trust me. You can check them out at 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar or in La Mesa at 70th and University Avenue. And let me tell you, I know there's all kinds of battery selling people out there, but these guys sell only quality batteries. So if you need a good battery, stop in to check them out. That's what I'm telling you to do now. Anyway, so, all right. This morning we're talking about myths, et cetera, but it looks like we got some calls going. So let's grab Frank real quick in Chula Vista. What do you got going, Frank?
Well, good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Yeah. I think my truck misses you. This is Frank, the guy that's always out walking, but he hadn't been walking for a while since he fell off his roof.
Ooh, Frank, but, don't do that. That's always bad. Yeah. Are you okay?
Why do you... You know, you guys are always telling me a little bit late. You know, it's just like that overfilling your gas tank. You know, remember when gas was what, close to $5 a gallon.
Yeah.
And I drove to Arizona to find out it was like $2 or something. So I filled that sucker up as full as I could get it. And guess what? It wouldn't take any more.
What?
I mean, ever. I ran out of gas and it wouldn't take any more.
Did you go buy some gas stations at the auto parts store?
Man, I had to have it towed from a place called Mule Creek, New Mexico, all the way to Phoenix.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And then, like you said, it cost me close to $1,000 to get it fixed.
Yeah.
So I didn't save too much on that fill-up. No. But listen, fellas, I got a little check engine light that came on, so I went in and had it checked. And it turns out to be the code is the throttle positioning sensor.
Uh-huh.
Okay. How important is that? Because I was going to bring it up, have Kevin take a look at my transmission, too.
I got to tell you something. The TPS is a really important thing. Let me tell you why, especially on the new cars. If the TPS fails, it can do a couple things. Because it controls the fuel. I mean, you can actually pull up to a light, and if TPS goes out, the throttle plate might open, but it may not expand the pulse width of the injector, and it may not even just move off the line.
Well, it not only does that, but the input from it also helps with the proper shifting points on a vehicle, et cetera. I mean, that's an input sensor that is used for multiple different functions when it comes to drivability, transmission, fuel control, and all that. So that is actually along with the mass airflow and stuff like that's a very important sensor on a vehicle for sure.
So you don't think I should drive all the way to your place? I should go to El Cajon instead.
Well, no. How's it driving? I mean, are you having any concerns?
Oh, you know, it drives great. We're talking about the Dodge pickup, the white one. You remember?
Yeah, correct. So it may just have high resistance in one circuit and it's off a little bit. And it'll pick that up. Uh-huh. It will. And it wants you to correct it, obviously, so that it's working properly. So, I mean, it hasn't totally failed. So, whatever works for you. I mean, El Cajon, we can take care of it there, too. It's all the same. But if you got to come up and get your trans, the follow-up on it checked or whatever, and you want to have us do it while you're doing there, you could drive up to Escondido, too. Whatever you want to do, Frank.
I know. Well, you know how you were bragging about Kevin being the sharpest guy in transmission. So.
Correct.
When I took that long trip this summer, my wife's cousin actually worked for Dodge, and he said there was a problem with the transmission. There's something inside in the pan there that has to be replaced, and that's why it was constantly shifting and downshifting at 40 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And he said that's going to have to be replaced. And so I figured, well, Kevin's got to be the guy to do that for me.
Yeah, so
so I was hoping to get both of these things done at the same time.
Well, you could because
throttle position.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, most likely the governor pressure sensor and solenoid are having a problem inside that trans. Then if it's doing that,
or if it's upshifting and downshifting, he's getting a TPS code. TPS could be part of that.
Could be doing that because it takes that input. And then the PCM tells the governor with the governor pressure input, and then it tells the trans solenoids what to do upshift. So a lot of that can be affected by a TPS.
I'll be darned.
Yep. So we can definitely take a look at that and figure it out. But go ahead. You were going to add something else to it, and I'm sorry. I cut in on you.
Well, I turned 70, and I have senior moments. I can't remember what I was going to say now.
Don't we all?
Yeah, I'm 48, and I have them. I walk into a room and go, why did I walk in here again?
Yeah, my wife was asking me yesterday, what would I like for Christmas? And I says, let me check with the fellas and see if they have gift certificates.
we do have gift certificates at all our locations available, if that's something that she'd like to get you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, oh, always a pleasure to talk to you.
I know there's other things I want.
What were you going to say?
I just don't want to take up all your time.
No, you're.
I can't think of what else I was going to say now.
No worries. No worries. Well, we'll be. You can always call back. You know that too.
Yeah, we enjoy talking to you.
Sure. Yeah, I just haven't been walking for a while ever since I cracked these ribs and they broke two of them. So.
Oh, that's painful.
I suggest you. I'm gonna pay somebody else to get up on top of my roof to clean my solar panels from now on.
I think that might be a good idea. You need to take care of yourself. It could have turned out way worse. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it sure was.
Well, we're glad you're on the mend, my friend. Let us know if we can help you out.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well. Are you guys really busy during the week, or should I try to set up an appointment? Or
yeah, you know what? If you're gonna
come up to see you guys, because you know I want
sure.
I want to.
Sure. What I would do.
Try to set up appointment.
Yeah, what I do. I mean, and Tim's there today. Just give the shop a call, and that way he'll get you in a time slot where you can get in first thing in the morning, which would be best. Okay.
Okay. Well, that'll be best.
All right. Alrighty. Frank, always a pleasure to talk to you,
thank
my friend.
You very
Look
much,
forward
Charles,
to seeing
and,
you.
Merry Christmas.
All righty. And Merry Christmas to you guys.
Take care now.
Good
thanks,
luck
Frank.
With those microphones.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks. Take care. Frank's always awesome. He made that round the country trip. Did quite a bit of driving there for sure, without question.
I know. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. You got a long way to go.
There's a lot of fishing holes through the United States.
You think so?
I like to find the hunting holes too, you know.
Gotcha. Let's grab Bobo real quick in La Mesa. I don't know if that's your name or not, but that's what he put on there, so I apologize if it's not. Hello?
Good morning, Brian.
Is this... Hello?
Bob?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Is this Bob?
Yes.
Okay. He's got
good morning.
He's got your name wrong in there, but hey, good morning, Bob. What you got going on? I see you have a RAV4.
Right. It's a 2017. It's got 20,000 miles on it, and it wants to idle between 800 and 900. I'm asking, is that too high?
Stick shift or automatic?
Automatic.
All right. What's it when you engage it into gear? How does it idle? Does it seem like the car wants to take off and move? The only reason I'm asking is I don't know the specification on that vehicle. It could be in there somewhere. Some of them are 650, 750, 800. It just depends. But when you put
it. The reason I ask is that I can feel the engine vibrate just a hair when I'm sitting at in idle in neutral.
Okay. Gotcha. When you're in gear at idle, how does it feel?
It feels fine.
Okay.
It doesn't try to run away from you? Like, if you let your foot off the brake, it doesn't start just driving away?
No, it does not.
Okay. It's probably right in there spec-wise. You know, that's very low mileage for that vehicle. Typically, they don't have issues with idle, unless they're starting to get carboned up. That's the only thing I could think of, that sometimes the IAC sticks on them a little bit, keeps the idle a little high. I'd really have to look to see what the factory spec is on that. And if it is a little high, it's probably because of, like I said, a sticky IAC valve, a little bit of carbon buildup, et cetera, that sometimes can affect those. We usually recommend on vehicles, you know, doing an induction and throttle bore cleaning and all that stuff once a year. It helps reduce those kind of things. But I'm not saying that's even a problem with that vehicle right now, because that idle might be correct to spec.
You know what, though? If you want to shoot Brian an email, we can make sure that it's right.
Yeah, I can always look up the spec and tell you what it's supposed to be and shoot back an email to you.
Okay. What's the address?
You can email me at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be happy to look that up for you, and I can let you know.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
No problem. Thank you. Take care now. Bye. So, great question, without question. We're going to have to take our last break here real quick. Folks, Rick and Steve, hang on. We'll get to you here in just a second when we get done here with this last break. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio at 760 KFMB. We'll be right back after these messages. All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I only have to hold this
You got
a
like,
couple more minutes.
Yeah, like you got like 7 minutes.
5 minutes or so. Yeah, something like that. Jeez. I have to talk to somebody about this. Hey, can you put in a work order for this, Justin? The jack is the jack is jacked in here. I'm gonna be honest with you. And the worst part is this is the captain's seat with all the, I don't know.
So if we can't
have to
hear
talk the, to Mike and Mike and Brett and them and see what they're doing.
I was gonna
about
say if
this.
We can't hear them for the rest of the week, we'll know why.
They can't hear us. That's even worse. All right, folks, we appreciate you joining us here at Auto Talk Radio this morning. You can give us a call, 1-800-760-KFMB, 1-800-760-5362, but we're going to wind it down here shortly. Let's grab Rick in San Diego real quick. What you got going on, Rick, with your Lumina?
Yeah, good morning. It's a 1990 Lumina, and I'll be darned if both locks, door locks, it's a Euro model, and the handle's kind of strange on it, but both door locks went out at the same time. I can't open the car. It, it's It's the strangest thing.
When you
both
said,
of them on both sides.
When you said they both went out, are you talking about with the key fob, or are you talking about with the door switch?
No, it doesn't take a key fob. It's an old-fashioned, just turn the key and open it. And both sides, I can't open. I literally can't pull the handle and open the car. It's the most frustrating thing.
Huh. That's okay. So you unlock it with a key and you still can't open the door?
I still can't open it. No, it won't. So I guess
something,
the car, you know, the
1990
is an older car. So
yeah, something's disconnected somehow on both sides. That's really strange.
Can I ask a question? Is the door, I mean, I had one of those Illuminas a long time ago, and I know them door handles like the brake too.
That's
because they're the ones up by the window. So is the door handle working itself?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So it feels like it's connected and everything. It's not, because they do break inside is what Kevin's talking about. So that would be my first look. That's all mechanical. So something's broken or disconnected. No question in it.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're gonna
disassemble the padding and all that.
Door panel has to come off.
And you know what? I've seen weird things like that where something, both of them break. I've seen two headlights go out at the exact same time. I mean, it doesn't normally happen, but it does happen. So
yeah. And being that's not an electronic thing on that vehicle. So it's definitely something mechanical broke.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, true. It's easier to fix when you pull the cover off and look at it. You should see what's going on. But it's gonna have to pull the door panels off and take a good look at them.
Okay, thanks, fellas. I really appreciate it.
No problem, Rick. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful, safe weekend and a Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Bye bye.
So that's frustrating when that happens. We've had it happen to vehicles before. You're like, geez, man.
I've had it happen trying to go to work. I can't get in my car.
That's just an excuse that you used before. That's not, that didn't happen.
No, but as I'm getting older, I'll be able to use it.
No. No. No, I'll be like, drive one of your other cars. Drive your son's car. Tell him to walk. He can ride the bus. Right?
The funny thing is I've never paid for the bus, but he's jumped on the bus before and rode it home before when he's
stuck. A kid is something else, man. Anyway, all right, folks. So this morning we've been talking about a couple myths we talked about, and we talked about fuel and overfueling your vehicle and things like that. And I tell you what, you can check any of these out. But if regular grade fuel is good, premium must be better. Nope, we're going back to this engineered thing. You should put in your vehicle what it's engineered for. All manufacturers will tell you. There's a tells you what fuel they recommend for your vehicle. If it's recommended to use 87 octane, then you're just fine using 87 octane. That's what the engine was engineered for, and it will operate and run fine.
Well, especially if they engineered it for 87 and you start using the higher octane all the time, because it does burn at a cooler temp,
different rate.
It can create a lot of carbon in the engine if it's designed to use the other fuel.
Correct. So, and then a higher octane rated vehicle, like performance vehicle, usually they have higher combustion ratios,
which creates more head
compression
temperature.
Ratio. So that's why they have to use a higher octane fuel to prevent pre-detonation. So then it's needed on that vehicle, and if you don't do it, you can get pre-detonation damage.
Pinging can cause damnation.
Damnation on your motor. That's it. All right, we're done with that.
Yes.
All right, folks.
We're off to our Saturday.
Yes, we are. San Diego, everybody else out there, keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up. Be safe, man. This holiday season, you want to definitely come home to all your loved ones, and we want you to also. No drinking, no driving while you're drinking and driving, okay? Don't drink and drive, in other words. Yeah, that's...
Don't be high and drive.
Don't do any of those things.
Yeah.
Uber and all those other things, Lyft and all that is so inexpensive. Be safe. You know, don't drink and drive in all seriousness and nothing else in driving. We want you home to your family.
Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's legal to drive on.
Yeah, don't do it. Anyway, be safe. Till next Saturday, this is Auto Talk Radio on 760 KFMB. Do you want me to keep talking?
West Automotive Group, whether your personal vehicle or a fleet of vehicles needs service or repair, go to West Automotive Group. Brian Bowersock, he is San Diego's car guy, right? He has all
Here's a reminder. When you need to know, all you need to know is